I love doing business ethically and transparently and with customer satisfaction, and actually show people how to leverage that and leverage it so you could actually increase your business and it'll be more profitable than taking the shortcuts, right?
You're listening to Real Marketing Real Fast, the only podcast that brings you unfiltered, undaunted, insider information on the latest tools and technologies for online marketers. Prepare to dive deep into marketing myths, breakthrough models, and cutting-edge strategies that will have an immediate impact on the growth of your business. And now, here's your host, marketing expert Doug Morneau.
Well, welcome back, listeners, to another episode of Real Marketing Real Fast. Now, today I've got joining me in the studio, Brian Greenberg. He is the author of The Salesman Who Doesn't Sell, a marketing guide to selling while you sleep. Now, who doesn't want to wake up in the morning with more money in the bank? Brian Greenberg has founded a business in e-commerce, marketing, and financial services. He has generated over $50 million in revenue from his businesses and collected over 10,000 reviews and testimonials from customers, being named one of the most creative people in financial services, and has been called the salesman who doesn't sell. With so much success, Brian has decided to teach others, writing The Salesman Who Doesn't Sell, a marketing guide to selling while you sleep. Brian now teaches others through his book, his content, and his website. And today he'll be teaching you through this podcast. As a multifaceted entrepreneur, Brian believes in building integrity into everything that he does, operating a business for the long term with a strong reputation and commitment to exceptional customer service. So welcome to the Real Marketing Podcast.
Doug, thanks for having me.
Well, I mean, there's so many provocative terms of what you do. And let's just start off right at the beginning and say, my rule of thumb for engaging somebody or hiring somebody is don't hire anyone who hasn't done what you want to do or isn't willing to pay the price you're willing to pay. So for those of you listening, if you're interested in generating $50 million in revenue or even 40 or maybe even 10, I think Brian's got a lot to share with us.
I'm looking forward to sharing, Doug.
So let's talk about your two superpowers. We talked a little bit about them, and you said one was organic SEO, and the second one was reviews and five-star reviews for your company. So where do you want to start?
Exactly. Look, you know, over the years, I've been bringing people to my websites. That's the first thing to do. After you get them to your website, you need to convert them. So, you know, it's very important to build trust. And for that, I like to build reviews, build a nice website, the whole thing. And yeah, you know, what I want to teach people how to do is to get people to their website and sell them with a shortest sales process as possible. And it's definitely possible to do.
Well, I think it's interesting because, you know, I have friends and family. I know people that, you know, are in the insurance business, and their argument in terms of marketing is, well, there's really nothing unique. And so they've got all these reasons of why they can't build something and become a marketing machine. And you've obviously disproven all those purely by example of what you've accomplished.
It's about separating yourselves from your competitors. So if people are going online, you know, look, they're ready to buy. It's a great time to drive people to your website or your sales funnel. Now, they're going to buy from somebody, all right? So you just need to separate yourself from the competition. What we found is, look, in the insurance business, they'll go to our website, and they might go to our competitor's website too. The last thing that they do is they go online and they search the name of my company, True Blue Life Insurance, followed by reviews or complaints. And they do that for every company. Now, if I have the best reviews and I've proven that I've been doing this a while, people say great things about me, that's the tipping point. Then they come back. Now, at that point, they're ready to buy and I don't have to sell anymore. So that's, you know, a great thing to separate from the competitors.
Yeah, and I've heard that said, that when somebody else is talking about you and your company, to shut up. Let them talk, because obviously they have more credibility than you talking about your own company. And I guess that's obviously the case when, you know, looking at your long list of five-star reviews of people who are super happy with your service.
Exactly. You know, it's a great time to be online and selling because of social media. I mean, you can just ask Amazon, right? They have one of the highest conversion rates in the e-commerce business. I think it's around 17% now, but it's the reviews. People go there to view the reviews. TripAdvisor, people love reviews. And oddly enough, they actually believe reviews more than their friends, right? So as an example, let's say a friend of yours says, hey, this Asian restaurant is incredible, right? It's my favorite place. But then you go online and you look it on Yelp. And you got 15 people gave it 1-star reviews saying how terrible it is, that it's that they got sick from going there. Now, you're going to listen to the people on the Yelp. Overwhelmingly, that's what the statistics say. So even let's say I said 10, but let's say there's just 3 reviews. It's going to put hesitation. Usually the online reviews are incredibly persuasive.
I totally agree. I mean, I feel like an older guy in the demographics because I'm a big user of Yelp. And so whenever I travel, wherever I go, that's the first thing that I'll pull out. And then often I'll start there, then go to the concierge and say, this looks like a really good place. Can you get me there? And the guy's going, you know, it's really tough to get in. That's why I'm coming to you. Right. I found it. You get me in.
Exactly. You know, one thing about reviews, I don't think people know the value of it. I guess, you know, the restaurants on Yelp that are really killing it, they know, right? So, you know, 1 5-star review can actually affect their business. It could raise their business by a couple percent. So I like to put a value on reviews just so people can, you know, grasp it, right? So if I get a review on a site like Yelp or Google Business Pages or the Better Business Bureau, a site that I don't control, right? They post it, I can't take it down. I value each one of those reviews at $250. Now, the nice thing about it is they stay up there, right? So the next year, I value those same reviews at about $50. Now, I find that if I value those reviews at a certain dollar amount, I'm more apt to go after them. And I'm able to actually bonus my employees for getting them as well. I think it has to be a company-wide thing. So I like putting a dollar amount on things just to give a value.
Well, that's a great idea, because if you know if you're going to assign a value, even if it's arbitrary, then you know what you can spend in terms of time and resources to go out and get that review.
Exactly. And like you said, you know, you're using Yelp to find out where you go. Overwhelmingly, this is what's happening now. And the thing is, if they're going to your website, you want to make it as easy as possible for people to find the reviews. A lot of people think reviews is a type of bragging, right? If you put it front and center on your website. I disagree. You know, I don't think it's bragging. I think it's helping the customer. I think it's almost your responsibility if you're doing such a great job to let the customer know, right? We want people to do business with those that do business ethically and transparently and focus on customer satisfaction. So because we now know the value of reviews, now also the increase in conversion rates, put them smack dab right in the middle of your website or on every page of the website. It could be in the footer, it could be somewhere else, but link to your Yelp profile, right? Link to your Google Business profile, link to your Better Business Bureau profile, and link to your reviews or testimonial page on your website. These are things that actually have a big impact on your conversion rate.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I know I failed that. I was reading up on you before we got on our interview this week. And so I thought, oh man, I haven't done any of that for my own business at all. So it's definitely something to look at. So how did you get started in this? I mean, you're in a more traditional financial business, and you started going after or specifically targeting reviews. What made that shift?
You know, I've been doing online marketing since 2003. I started with some e-commerce websites. I've always done well. I've always been able to rank, you know, in the first positions. I started with my father's website, a janitorial supply website, wholesale janitorial supply. He had a touch-free plumbing website. I got really good at it, you know, and I took a job with Submit a Website, which was, you know, one of the top internet marketing firms here in Arizona. And back then, Arizona was kind of like a mecca. It still is for internet marketing. So I got very good at it. I, you know, expanded into a lot of different websites. I was bringing in all my income organically on search engines. I even started an internet marketing company, right? Specializing in organic SEO. So I've done this for many clients over the years. Now, I eventually sold that business. I actually kind of like doing the SEO and stuff. I like focusing on my site. If you do too many things, I find out that you can't focus. I landed on life insurance just because of the amount of profits available in actually. The life insurance niche online is one of the most competitive niches, especially for pay-per-click. So the pay-per-click on life insurance keywords can go from $30 up to $80 a click. All right. That's because it's profitable. So by ranking on the first page for those keywords, it's the most profitable niche I could find, right? And when I was young, I actually worked for an insurance company as one of my first jobs. That's why I targeted. I also like it, but it's a profitable business for me.
Well, that's an interesting approach. And I sometimes use a similar approach in terms of looking for a starving audience and then going and finding the solution opposed to starting a business. So, you know, that's what it sounds like you've done. You took your skills and said, okay, I've got these skills where I can generate traffic and sales online. I've got a proven history. Now I just need to find something that will pay me extremely well and over to do that.
Exactly. I think a lot of people come up with great ideas. It has to, you know, be a scalable and profitable business in order to pursue it.
So talk a little bit more about the organic SEO. So people say SEO, and I get all sorts of feedback in my business. And some people say, yeah, it works. And then other people say it doesn't work. And you know, there's others, you know, some of the big names out there they say, we don't spend any time. We just buy all our traffic.
It's a waiting game, right? So it's an investment. Now, one of the biggest things in organic SEO is still getting links. It has been for a long time. Some people say, oh, it's more content, but the biggest ranking factor, in my opinion, is links. So every link I get, I consider it an asset. So, you know, go after the real links, right? You know, back in the day, people were buying a lot of links, right? It was a whole business. You'd be buying links based on PageRank. And it was great. I did it back in the day. I was very good at it. But then Google Penguin came along. And this was back in 2012 and wiped everybody who did any SEO out.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
And it was Will Reynolds. He's the CEO of Sear Interactive. You know, he did a speech at one of these conferences and he says, look, the time for doing these, you know, these crazy SEO tactics are over. Now you have to do real company stuff. He called it RCS. He used the profanity at the end, real company and stuff.
Yeah, okay.
The point is, if it doesn't make sense, don't do it, right? So don't join a blog carnival. Don't hire someone overseas to do blog commenting for you. Don't just pay random people to buy links or to spin articles. Do things that real companies do. And if you focus on that, you don't need that many links these days because they're harder to get, but you need fewer of them to win. So if you do.
And like you said, as good quality too. I mean, for example, we're going to finish up this interview. I'm going to transcribe this. We're going to end up with 4,000 or 5,000 organic words because it hasn't been crafted. We've had a natural flowing conversation with the appropriate keywords. And then I'm going to link back to your site. So there's good organic, your name, your business, and then a link back to your site.
You're exactly right, Doug. And I'm going to link to your website and all your websites because I know the value of it. Now, I wrote a book, Doug, and I'm going and, you know, kind of doing a tour and I'm on your podcast. Now, this is marketing, right? So if I go on your podcast and you give me a link back, that's a great link. This is one of the main reasons why I wrote the book, so I can promote all my businesses. It's real company stuff.
I love that. I made a note of that real company stuff because it's interesting. The lengths that people will go to try to find a shortcut and the amount of money that they will spend to try to do things cheaply. So I do a lot of work in the email space and I help people grow their own organic list and I rent data. So permission-based data. So you're in the financial space. So you might know somebody like Schaefer's Financial or Zach's Financial. I would rent their data to send out a financial offer to their list or they send it out actually. And that works really well. But then I have other clients that want to buy data. I'm going, that's a bad idea. It'll get you blacklisted. It'll wreck your domain. You'll get kicked off your email service provider. And they're going, yeah, but I want to save money. The list is only X number of dollars. And so it comes back to, I like your comment, they're real company stuff.
I love the idea that you're renting the list. Are they sending it through their own servers, Doug?
They are. Yeah, absolutely. So
brilliant.
They set it through their servers. So, you know, for example, with the ZachsFinancial.com website, I've used their data for, I don't know, 10 years or more. They have two different lists. They have a paid subscription list and they have a free subscription list. And I rent both files and I rent the direct mail file. And it's permission-based because you've gone in, you've signed up, you've given permission. They own their reputation. I'm borrowing their credibility, sending out your offer or my offer to their subscribers who like and trust them. And we get a win. But that's real company stuff because it's coming from a real company. It's not coming from an offshore server with some fake address from some Gmail account.
It's brilliant. Look, I've bought the lists and I've had problems with the servers and the email marketing software, the deliverability, people getting upset. I love the idea of renting the list, Doug. Brilliant.
So tell us about your book. I mean, who doesn't want to have a system in place that's selling while you're sleeping?
Thank you, Doug. You know, I actually wrote the book because I want to promote you know, people to do business the right way. I love doing business ethically and transparently and with customer satisfaction, and actually show people how to leverage that and leverage it so you could actually increase your business and it'll be more profitable than taking the shortcuts, right? Tony Hsieh wrote the book Delivering Happiness, where, you know, he builds up the customer relationship. And, you know, let's say even Amazon is an example. You know, they rank number one in customer service for like the last 10 years. What they found is that the people who have the highest customer satisfaction have the fastest rate of revenue growth for their businesses. And it's an odd thing, but for long term, it's so important. So I want to teach people how to leverage that, right? You can leverage it by using reviews and case studies and portfolio and using this building the social proof. So people come to you. And when they do come to you, they don't leave. They know that you're the person to do business with.
So do you have a specific strategy, like a tactic for getting reviews and like a list of sites? You say these are the top five sites you need to have reviews on, and this is how you should go about that. Is that sort of the information that's going to be included in your current book?
Absolutely. So I definitely have a process for it. First of all, you know, look, you have to ask for the review. All right. I have, you know, my team asked for it. The question is, when do you ask for it? Because people are real nervous about it, right? I like to, when you're done, right? When you delivered, and I like to ask the client, are you happy? Are you satisfied? It's a great question to ask a customer no matter what. If they say yes, that's the time to ask for a review. And it's, you don't have to do it on the spot. Use email. I like to use email software. I use ActiveCampaign.
Right.
So if they're satisfied, I say, look, that's great. I'm going to send you an email with a link on where to provide the feedback. You know, we really appreciate it. It helps our business. And that's it. Then you're done, right? Let the email do it for you. Now, one of the things that I do, and I think it's so important, is that when you send them the first email request, have it be your internal system, okay? Have it be something you control. So when I send them the first email, I use ActiveCampaign. I have, you know, five big stars in the email. They click a star. They go to my website. It pre-fills it out. I get, you know, a comment from them. Now, I control it, right? So it's not going to Better Business Bureau, Yelp, or, you know, Google. I have the, say they have a complaint, right? I have the option to fix it. I have the option not to display that review, okay? So only when I get a five-star review in my own system, I send them another email. And in the other email, I said, hey, thanks so much for the review. Here's the comment you left. Can you post it? And I give them a link to the Better Business Bureau and Google Business Pages. Those are the ones that we focus on in our business.
That's a really smart idea to do a little bit of pre-qualification, because like you said, you want to make sure they're satisfied. And so if they're not satisfied, you know, not only do you have a chance to get a review, but more importantly, you have a chance to make it right with the customer, whatever their issue may be.
Absolutely. And again, you know, look, you can't please everybody. And I understand that too. If they're not happy, don't ask them for a review, or don't let them, you know, don't even plant the seed in their head, right? Go after the happy customers. And that's an important thing.
Well, I did some consulting work for a retail chain that had a dozen stores, and one store was failing miserably. So they hired me to come in and turn it around. And one of the things we did was build up the reviews. And the head office actually accused us of stuffing their reviews. I said, well, what do you mean? They said, you're getting more reviews, favorable reviews in your store than all the other, you know, 11 stores combined. How are you doing that? So, well, we're asking every time the salesperson completes a sale and the customer says, thank you, we ask, would you mind filling out a review? And I don't think even when we finished our contract with them, even though the store had turned around, I don't think they believed that it was just about asking. It wasn't a difficult question. Would you mind filling out a review? It'd be helpful.
I agree. Look, I especially if they ask you, are you happy? Are you satisfied? If you are, people like to reward the businesses that do a great job, and especially if they're going online and using reviews, it's the more people use them, the more they participate. So yeah, definitely ask.
So let's go to the dark side for a minute. Negative reviews. So I've worked with people that have got negative reviews that have come from customers. So they claim they're customers, and when we've looked into the review, we've realized that those people don't exist in the system, so it's not a customer. What do you have, you know, any feedback or experience in that space where it may be a competitor or just somebody who doesn't like you who's throwing rocks at you?
I've seen other people have that. You know, my theory on it is that you upset somebody, right? Somebody left you a negative review, and they're so upset that they're going to leave a review under their name, and they're going to, you know, create a couple other Gmail addresses, and they're going to leave even more. Now, the secret is, look, don't upset anybody, right? So if you have an upset customer, don't retaliate. I've seen so many companies, you know, have to close their business, have to, you know, rename their business to a whole nother website because of negative reviews. If you get something, a bad review on Google or Yelp, you can't take it down unless the customer takes it down. People think, oh yeah, I'll just take them to court. You can't take them to court. It's not an option, right? So there's even a website called the Ripoff Report that if you put a bad review on there, someone's real upset, even the customer can't take it down.
Yep.
It's there forever and it ranks in the search engine. So, you know, one thing I want to say, Doug, is if you get a negative review, it's so important to follow some rules. Number one, don't retaliate. All right. That's the last thing you want to do. A negative review can cost you $10,000 easy, right? So don't retaliate. You know, sympathize, fix the problem, give them a refund, be willing to take a loss. I'm willing to take up to a $500 loss just so somebody would take down a review. And it's as simple as asking, you know, what would make you happy? Again, the way to win when someone gives you a negative review is to play the victim, right? Maybe guilt them, give them a refund, say, you know, please, this is hurting my business, my family. Get them to take that review down by all means necessary. Not all means, but all nice means.
No, I assume that's what you're referring to. Yeah. But again, you know, you've put a dollar value to that. And so, you know, you hear people say, well, you know, that's not fair. You're right. It's not fair, but your point's valid. It may not be fair. It may not be true, but it's your reality, and it's going to be your reality online for life. So you can deal with it, or you can go around saying it's not fair and let it hurt your business.
It hurts me when people say, oh, nobody reads. Nobody's going to look at Yelp. Nobody's going to look at Google. And, it happens to a lot of business owners because they're not used to, you know, what's been going on the past couple of years, you know, how much of an effect that has. But it does. I don't know what to tell you. It does have, you know, thousands of dollars of negative effect. There's been studies on it. Having a bad review out there is like having a roach in the middle of your restaurant. Don't want it.
Well, and if you've done and operated your business, like you said, you're operating your business, you've got lots of reviews, you're asking people if they're satisfied, and you're operating with transparency and integrity. I've also seen situations where somebody's posted a negative review and the other people who support the business have basically pounced on that person for doing that. So the owner, you know, in some cases, the owner's intervened and other times they haven't. But if you've built a raving fan or an evangelist for your brand, more often than not, they will come to your defense.
I completely agree. You know, as long as you don't retaliate, people know that we're human, right? So if you do make a mistake and someone leaves a bad review and you can't get them to take it down, the best thing to do is respond. Let them know what you did. Let them know that you refunded them, that you offered, you tried everything to satisfy the customer, and, you know, be very nice and upfront. Nothing negative. Well, that's what people want. That's why sometimes people read the one-star reviews. They'll read those first, right?
Yep.
They'll see how the company responded to it. Sometimes if the company responded well, that'll tip you over the point as well.
Yeah, I think so. I've seen companies that don't respond and to reviews. It's people I know. I'm saying, hey, dude, like, have you checked your rating? Somebody's left you a negative review, and I never looked before, but it's been there for 2 years and there's no response.
Yeah, people want to know that you care about the reviews. It shows that you're accountable, right? So if something does go wrong, they know that they have some recourse. They know if they leave a negative review, it's going to affect you. And that's what they want. They don't, if something goes wrong, you tell them, hey, go below. That's not good for them. It's important to know that they're accountable. If I can't that people are accountable, I won't do business with them.
Yeah. And big picture, I mean, we've all stood in a line someplace and we've heard somebody in front of us totally ripping on a service person or a waiter or a clerk. So, you know, I think that it'd be foolish to think that we're not aware there are people that will complain in every circumstance, regardless of how good it is. So, you know, if you get a negative review, like you said, and people won't take it down, I think that people are smart enough to know there's always people out there that you can never, ever, ever satisfy.
Yes, but, you know, you're exactly right. But as a business, don't retaliate, don't fight, be above it. Go high, if you will, right? Not low. Then other people will rally behind you. They'll back you up.
Yep.
And that's how I've done it in my business, and it's worked so far. And I think it's worked with your example as well.
So in terms of what's coming in the marketplace, I had a couple more questions for you. So what do you think the biggest myth is around people focusing on reviews?
Well, I think that a lot of people think that they need to buy reviews, right? Can't really buy reviews anymore. It's a terrible business and people crack down on it. The other myth is that they're too hard to get. It's not true. It's pretty easy. You set up a system like a, you know, an active campaign system, or heck, even all the e-commerce systems have it built in now. All you have to do is ask. And displaying reviews is not a form of bragging. It's showing your professionalism. It's just like going to an interview with a nice suit. You want to put your best foot forward.
Yeah. I think on the other side of not showing reviews, my approach to people who don't like to sell their services is, I said, you know, by not selling or asking for the sale, or in this case, by not showing your reviews because they're truthful and helping a customer make the right decision in hiring you because they're going to get a good service, you're being selfish. So you're not serving them, you're serving you. You don't want to put the reviews up, oh, I'm too humble, I'm too this. But you're doing a disservice to the person that you can help, because we got into business to help people. And if they're not hiring you, then you're not helping them.
I agree. Look, I love doing businesses with people that do honest and ethically, and they have principles. When I get good service, I leave a great review. Those are the people that should stick around. Those are the people who should succeed long term. And if you operate your business like that, you're doing a disservice by not doing it. You're letting the other guys come in and they're going to take advantage of those customers. Just like you said, Doug.
Exactly. So moving forward, what are you most excited about, or what do you see coming in the next, say, 6 or 12 months?
You know, I've been real excited about building links using PR. All right. I think a lot of people think that PR is, you know, look, if you do go to an agency, you're going to pay a lot of money, right? $10,000 a month, $5,000 a month. I want people to know that it's in grasp for just about every business now. If you write a nice article, and there's a couple secrets to write a great article that you could then hire a PR specialist to distribute, and I'd like to go over those a little bit. Number one is lists. Publications love lists. And when I say publications, look, we want to get these things published on authority blogs. Eventually, we want to get them published on Forbes and Entrepreneur. And Huffington Post, you know, these are the golden links. These are worth, you know, $5,000-$10,000, and they'll really bump you up in organic rankings. So lists, top five this, top 10 that, they love it. It's like catnip, right?
Yeah.
The second is a great headline, a great title for your article. I use a service, it's called headlines.sharethrough.com. Now, you just type in a headline and it grades it. It gives you a number score out of 100. It is incredible. It's also free. I have no idea why it's still free, but it is. While it's free, take advantage of it. Get a great headline. It'll score it. It's great. Then I like to go to Upwork. Upwork is a freelancer website. You can post a project, I don't know, for $250, to $500, to $1,000. These are about what I think the price range you should do. You'll get freelancers bidding on, you know, using their contacts to, you know, spread out your article and get you links. Now, what I've been able to do, if I pay $1,000, I can get a freelancer, a PR specialist, to guarantee me that they're going to give me 10 links. All right. 10 valid links that they're going to get me. That puts the link at about $100 a link, which is, my goodness, it's for these links, it's fantastic. It's been working great for me. And Doug, there's one more thing that I'm real excited about, and that's Google surveys. You know, in the past, large companies would run surveys, right? Yep. Our annual survey this, right? You could run a survey. Google surveys, $1 a survey, Doug. You could ask 10 questions, ask 10 multiple choice questions, send it out to 100 people, 250 people, $1 a piece, okay? And then you include that in the article. And you have bullet points for the most interesting facts. Again, editors, contributors, they absolutely love it. It's such a good strategy to build those links that get you to the top of the search engines.
So I'm not familiar with Google Survey. So what is it?
They send a survey out to, you know, you can put a location, U.S. people. You could even do it by age or by state. Now, I think when somebody takes that survey, they split the revenue. So if I'm paying $1, someone takes that 10-question survey, they get 50 cents. It's a service that Google came out with, oh, I don't know, maybe about 8 months ago, and it's kind of been under the radar. Although I've tried it, it's worked incredible. They give you these beautiful graphs. And if you do it right, you know, if you ask a multiple choice question, and it's interesting and it's relevant, and it's, you know, even it could even be tied into something that's been going on in the news. These are great ways to get links. It's the best survey software I've found, and I've looked a lot of places.
Yeah, I've tried a lot of stuff. I tell people that I've probably tried more things and know more things that don't work than they do, yeah, because I'm actively, my credit card's out on my desk every day, and I'm buying and trying to see what's working, what's not, you know, what goes in the discard pile and what goes in the keep pile.
Yeah, I look, that's from experience. I love when people try something, right? If you try Google surveys, you send it to 100 people, that's $100. It hurts me. It pains me when people don't move forward on it. And I love to try things, Doug. It sounds like you do too. But if it fails, you learn from it. So everything you do is pushing you a step forward. You know, for people to succeed and be an entrepreneur, it's about taking action.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'd like to wrap up, Brian, with a couple parting questions. And one would be, who's a guest that you think I absolutely should have on my podcast?
Oh, boy. I have a mentor that has taught me a lot of these PR strategies. His name is Adrian. I think his last name is Salmanek. Even he can't really pronounce his name. He's the owner of Canvas Pop. And I actually found him on Clarity FM. Clarity FM is this incredible resource that was started by Dan Martell, where you could actually pay per minute to speak with experts in just about every industry, and you pay by the minute. Man, if you just try, you'd be blown away. And again, it's so great because you review them after the call. So all these guys are, you know, doing their best to over-deliver.
That's really so cool.
Yeah.
Now, the most important question is, tell us where we can find you and make sure we give us the link for your book.
Of course. My main business is True Blue Life Insurance. My personal website is brianjgreenberg.com. And Doug, I set it up for your listeners where they can get the free audio book. You can just go to brianjgreenberg.com/RMRF. And it's just for your podcast listeners. I hope it helps them.
That's excellent. So I will make sure that we have all that in the show notes, Brian. I'll also include your LinkedIn and your social media connections as well. But so there you go, listeners. There was another episode, and I think there was just a ton of value. I'm fortunate in my business that I get to spend all day looking at marketing stuff. And it's always exciting when I can pick up two or three new tips. I'm happy to get one a day. So to get three in one podcast was spectacular. So thanks, Brian, for dropping so much value with our listeners today.
Thanks for having me, Doug.
So check back. We'll have all the show notes transcribed. We'll make sure that all the contact information there for Brian. And I would strongly recommend you go download his audiobook. I found audio for me has worked really well as I'm traveling in transit on a plane, wherever I am, between that and listening to podcasts and a little bit of music. It helps keep me moving forward and stay on top of things. So thanks, listeners, for tuning in. Don't forget to leave us a review on iTunes.
That's all for this episode of Real Marketing Real Fast. Now it's time to take your marketing to the next level by visiting DougMorneau.com and downloading our advanced marketing white papers, as well as exclusive resources based on today's episode. That's DougMorneau.com. Until next time, we look forward to serving you right here on Real Marketing Real Fast.